Amen. Amen. Glad to have you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's your clue. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm so thankful for the Word of God tonight that I can go to it and I can find scriptures like this that are just very open and honest. It's basically telling us that there's a spiritual warfare and that there are spirits that are trying to convince humans of which way to go, what you should do, which way to turn. And the Bible then gives us a declaration of which spirit to listen to and how to tell the two apart. Because the Bible says that even the enemy of our soul can come as an angel of light and deceive many. Things are not always what they seem to be on the outward appearance. And so he says, test and try the spirits. See if they claim that Jesus Christ is truly come in the flesh. And if they don't claim that, then they are the spirit of the Antichrist. But ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I've come to preach to you tonight for just a little while. Don't stop digging. Don't stop digging. Everybody say, God is greater. Say it again. God is greater. One more time. Let's say it. God is greater. Amen. Do you have problems? Sure you do, but God is greater. Do you have issues in your life and circumstances that you can't seem to overcome? Sure you do, but God is greater. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. I said, God is greater. Amen. God is greater than your problem. Amen, amen. So don't stop digging. You may be seated tonight. There's a true story of a man named R.U. Darby and his uncle. And back many years ago, they were caught up in the gold rush frenzy that took place out west. And so they went to dig in their own claim, and they found themselves headed out west, and they staked the claim and went to work with a pick and a shovel. They began to dig away at the earth. They found a spot that seemed likely. They did all the paperwork and paid their fees and got their small utensils that they went out there and began to work their pickaxe and their shovels. And after a week of digging, they were both rewarded by the discovery of that very beautiful shining ore that we now know to be gold. What one of us has not dreamed of that day of just striking gold somewhere, especially those that are my age and older. You remember the old westerns that you grew up maybe watching at grandma and grandpa's house. They'd be out and you'd remember the stories of them digging and somebody coming up with a big gold find. And so they found this particular claim and they staked it out and they found the ore. And so they needed machinery to bring that ore to the surface. And so they covered their claim back up and they quietly made their way back to a small town in Maryland and began to gather relatives and neighbors together, people that they could trust, and they began to tell them about what they had found. What they were looking for was people to help them to go in on money and help them get the machinery that they needed to get that gold out of the ground. And They've got that money together, got their machinery bought and had it shipped out west, and the uncle and Darby went back to work at the mine. They began to dig, and they dug themselves out with the first cartload full of gold, and they sent it off, and they went and listened to what the people had to say about their strike, and come to find out that the returns proved that they had one of the richest mines in Colorado. A few more cars of that ore would soon clear their debts on the machinery for everything that they owed. And after that, it was all going to be rolling in the dough. It was going to be money to spend and set them up for a lifetime. When all of a sudden things changed. See, that first car of ore was mined and shipped off to the smelter. And the returns proved that they had that rich mine, that rich gold find. And after they went down a few with more with the drills and their hopes were up, then something happened. That vein of gold suddenly ended. It stopped. It ran out. What they thought to be a great gold find had simply disappeared and vanished right before their very eyes. These two men were not easy to quit, not quick to give up. They began to dig. After all, they had purchased the machinery. They had everything there. Surely it couldn't be much farther that they would pick it up again. And they began to dig with their machinery, but to no avail. They went on week after week until their monies finally ran out, until they became so weary that they felt like they couldn't go on any further. The two men, R.U. Darby and his uncle, finally gave up in despair. They took the machinery off to a junk dealer and sold it to him for just a couple hundred dollars. All that machinery that they had gathered and funded from money from their family and friends is now sitting at a junk dealer for just a couple hundred bucks. They made their way back home, and with their $200, barely enough to get them back home. And they walked away defeated. You see, what began to happen was the junk man looked at that machinery and he said, "Hey, I've got everything here that I need to go into the gold mining business. I just paid a couple hundred bucks for it." These guys were said to strike out with a great strike. They seemed to have the thing going, but the one thing he noticed about these two men was they did not get their information from a credible source. They were just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. They had invested everything that they had into this place, but they had not seemed to care about investing in information. And so this particular junk dealer, he went and he found a particular engineer in the gold mining industry. And he began to inquire of him some questions, and he took a little bit of money that he had set aside and he invested in some information. And what he found out from this engineer was that the owners of the mine, the owners that had staked their claim, Darby and his uncle, were not familiar with a thing called fault lines. Anybody ever heard of fault lines? It's simply fissures in the ground that change. And the engineer began to do studies, and he began to gather information. And before it was over with, he came back to the junk dealer, and he said, "You know, by all my calculations in my profession, this is what I've come up with." He said, "I believe that if you will start digging again, that you are no more than 3 feet away from that other, from the remaining part of that gold vein." Now, I wouldn't tell Darby and his uncle about that at all. So this old junk dealer gathers up all the parts and the pieces and the machinery that he'd bought, paid just a couple hundred bucks for, and he went out to that old claim that had been abandoned and it was up for whoever wanted it. He staked his claim and he took all the machinery down inside of that mine and he began to dig, and it was 3 feet from where he started, just like the engineer said, when he hit one of the greatest gold mines in history. The junk man took millions of dollars in ore from the mine because he knew enough to seek expert counsel before giving up. There's something to be said about seeking good advice. There's something to be said about going to somebody that you can trust, that you can count on, somebody that's been through the fire and getting your advice from them. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, there are spirits at work in this world that are doing their best to deceive the masses. Not everything that is at work is within plain sight. There are forces that work behind the scenes that are full of deception and lies and twisting truths. Spirits that are giving false information and bad advice. Amen. Not every spirit is a spirit that can be trusted. It wasn't too long ago that I was speaking to somebody and I told them, I said, it's okay to have questions. It's normal to have questions. It's all right for you to question certain things. But here is where you'll find yourself messing up. It's where you get your advice from. It's where your advice comes from that makes all the difference. Friend, you can go out and you can listen to a lying, deceiving spirit and it'll tell you everything that you want to hear. And before it's over, you'll walk away from the greatest thing that you could ever find in your life. But if you'll listen to a man of God, if you'll listen to the voice of God, if you'll listen to the word of God, it will never steer you wrong. Man, I'm not a rookie pastor anymore. My life has been full of hard work and ministry for more than 30 years, and in all that time I've learned a few things. One of them being that if a person really wants to serve God and live right, that there is no force in or below this world that can stop them. I'm telling you, if you make up your mind, if you make up your mind to serve God, there's no devil, there's no beautiful girl or good-looking guy, there's no spirit, there's no temptation, there's no alcohol, there's no drug that can replace a made-up mind to serve God, because greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. I'm telling you, if you'll choose to serve Him, no man can stop you. If you'll choose to serve Him and keep on digging, no devil can stop you. If you'll choose to just keep on moving forward and digging and stake your claim, nothing can stop you. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Where people get themselves into trouble is when they don't find the source of the spirit that they are entertaining. When they don't seek out where that source is coming from. Try the spirits. If you're looking for somebody to scratch your ears and tell you whatever you want to hear, it may seem easy in the beginning because it pleases the flesh. But I'm telling you right now, it's a trick of the devil. There's a trap in there somewhere. He's getting you into a place where you're going to find yourself frustrated. You're going to be digging and you're not going to find anything. And eventually you'll walk away and give up. But if you'll serve God, if you'll live for God, I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how hard it is. If you'll keep on serving God, you will be blessed and you will find the greatest gifts that God could ever give to you. People are interested in seeking advice that more closely resembles the desire of what they want to do rather than what is right. That's why you can find somebody out there that will agree with you. I don't care how crazy the idea seems to be. There's a blog for everything, man. I only eat purple chicken. There's a blog out there for that. All the crazy stuff in the world that there, you can find somebody else to agree with you. That doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean that it makes sense. But if you're just looking for somebody to justify what you want to do, somebody out there will justify it. But guess what, honey? You're both wrong. I just get tired of seeing people get conned into doing the wrong thing by given an ear to lying, deceitful spirits that leave them coming up a few feet short of victory and blessings. I want to see the best for people. I want to see this church blessed. I want to see you filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see you in heaven one day. But there is a spirit out there, and you need to try the spirits before you buy into what they're saying. The Bible isn't afraid to tell you that you need to try the spirits, because it knows that if you try them and you are living a holy, righteous life, then you will come to an understanding of right, what is right and what is wrong. We're in a war. It's a crucial war. The most crucial war that has ever been fought. And now more than ever, the sheep need to know the sound of the voice of the shepherd. We need to know him and recognize him. He said, my sheep know the sound of my voice. So I look around in this world and I see people that call themselves Christians. I see people that claim to be one thing, and yet their lifestyle depicts something completely different. And all of that, when you begin to talk with them and discuss with them, they believe they're okay. They believe they're right. And I can simply go to the Word of God and open it up, and it'll tell me that they're not. I'm not talking about somebody that's just starting their walk with God and on their way. I'm talking about people that are saying, I've got it. And they don't have nothing but something that they claim, they've staked to claim, but they quit digging a long time ago because they've never come to the realization that there's something greater for them to have. It's been many times in my life that I've wondered what God was doing. You see a guy that seemed to be put together. See a guy that has a nice family. I'll tell you something. I know what it's like to go through some tough times. I know what it's like to deal with some things. I've had my times of physical problems. I've been through times when we had financial pressures and I couldn't see a way out. I've had times when we lost people in our family and in our church that we love and been overwhelmed by grief. And not many people know that side of me. Not many people were there when all these things happened. Nobody was there when I was lonely and when I was down. And when I was facing some things all by myself, oh, I had family around. I had a wife that loved me. But nobody really sees what you're going through in those dark times when you're down there digging in that hole and you're coming up with nothing but dirt. The sweat's pouring off of you. You're doing everything that you know to do. You remember the times when you struck gold. You remember what it was like to be in those prayer meetings. You remember what it was like to feel God and seem like everything was going to be okay. But now things have turned drastically different for you. Now you're going through some tough times. Now your heart is hurting and it's broken and you're in a financial mess and all kinds of hell is breaking through you in your life. Can I just tell you this one thing? Don't stop digging. I don't care how dark it seems. I don't care how tired you get. You just keep on digging. There's a payday that's a coming. Hallelujah. I know hard times. I know what it's like to eat fish sticks, and I'm not talking about the good ones. Minced fish sticks. Yeah, don't even sound good. I can't believe I ate anything that said minced in it. Man, our steak was hamburger, and I'm not talking about the 90%, 90-10%. I'm talking about whatever we could get our hands on. Man, if they had a 40% meat and 60% fat, we'd have probably bought that one because it was cheaper. I know what hard times, well, I say hard times compared to what some of you have gone through. Those were not hard times. There's some of you out there, you know what hard times really are. You know what it's like to go hungry, but here you are. That's my whole point right there. All of our stories are different, but you never gave up. You never stopped digging. And look at you now. You're one day closer to the gold on the streets. You're one day closer to the pearly gate. You're one day closer because you just kept digging. You just kept going forward. You just wouldn't quit. I know all those things. I know what it feels like to suffer. I know how it feels to be digging and come up empty-handed. But I also know that without those times, I would have never understood how great the God I serve is. Without going through the times where I felt desperate and lonely, and in places where I didn't know my way out, I didn't know if my, felt like my labor was in vain. Like, am I doing all this for nothing? And all those times, I just kept digging. Never laid down my shovel. My pickaxe never got cobwebs on it. Never rested. Maybe the work didn't go quite as fast. Maybe it seemed like I was doing it in vain, but I just didn't know better. So I just kept digging. I wouldn't quit. I know what it's like to pace the floors with a phone call that your daughter has cancer. I know what it's like to get the phone call that says your dad is gone. I know what it's like to stand and preach the funeral of a 27-year-old mother. I know what it's like to preach the funeral of a 20-year-old young lady. But I just kept digging. Because hard times and desperate situations are the perfect time for God to come up with something beautiful in your life. There's gold just a few feet away. All those times. You know what frustrates me so bad? I'm just going to be real transparent. I hope I don't offend anybody here tonight. It's not my intention, but I just got to lay it on the line here tonight. What really frustrates me as a pastor, or not even as a pastor, just as a Christian, is when I see somebody come up against hard times, and the next thing you know, they're not coming to church. You don't see them at church anymore. They're not getting involved. They're just sitting back. They're going through hard times. Their arms are folded and they're just giving up on God. What are they doing? They've laid down their shovel. They've laid down their pickaxe and they've just quit digging. And it's not long before they just walk out and go back home. Broke and busted spiritually. Nothing to show but embarrassment. Can I tell you something? There's always going to be somebody walking into the door that they just walked out of. He says, what's this stuff doing here? This is exactly what I've been looking for. Pastored for 11 years in this church. I've had families of 10 get up and have to leave because they've moved on somewhere else. Thinking, what are we going to do with that big open hole in our church? Only to see that hole get filled with somebody. God's got a church. God's got a reward. Amen. Either I can sit in the seat or somebody's sitting in the seat for me. Amen. But God's going to have a church because He's always had a remnant. I don't care how dark the days are. Amen. There's always somebody out there that's willing to come along and say, hey, you may have given up, but if you don't mind, just move over and go back home if you want to. But I see something here that has potential. There's always going to be somebody that comes in and says, you know what? If you don't want to serve God, I'll serve God in your place. If you don't want to love Him, I'm looking for somebody to love. If you don't want to give Him your life, I'm here because I've tried everything else and I can see what God has. You see, everything that I've gone through and everything that you've gone through, I never quit. I never gave up. I never crossed my mind to skip church or disregard my pastor's anointed preaching. And through it all, I discovered that the giants of this world are great. They are to be feared to a certain extent. You do have to be cautious and you have to be careful because our enemy is a real enemy. He is a real warrior and he knows what he's doing. But there's just one thing that I have found out is no matter how big the giants of this world are, no matter how great they are, my God is greater. He's greater than cancer. Amen. He's greater than sickness. He's greater than financial despair. He's greater than anything that this world has. He's greater than family problems. He's greater than heartache. Amen. He's greater than all those things. So just keep digging. If I can get one thing through to you tonight, don't give up. We're too close. We're right at the edge of something great. We just must keep digging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't quit praying for your child that seems like they don't care. Don't quit praying for your loved one that seems like they don't want to serve God. Keep digging. I've been hit, but God was greater. I've been sick, but God was greater. I've lost people that I love, but God was greater. Had money troubles, but God was greater. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We give up too soon. We quit too early. We throw in the towel, not realizing that our opponent's sinking back. He looks strong and he looks big, but we don't realize how weak he really is and how strong we really are, and that he's just sitting back there thinking, I hope that dude don't hit me one more time because I'm putting on a good show here, but one more hit and I'm going down for the count. Can I tell you something? Amen. When you feel like all hope is lost, when you feel like everything is coming undone, just stay in the ring. If you can just muster up one more right jab to the jaw, I got a feeling that some of the demons that are in your life are going to go down. If you'll just keep in there. If you'll just hang in there a little while, if you'll just hold on a little bit, I believe that God is going to do something great, but he can't do it if we stop digging too soon. Let our music come tonight. You just need to hear this testimony from somebody who knows what the fire feels like. Somebody said not too long ago, I was talking to him. Their life, I don't know too much about their background, but I can just tell and sense certain things. They were crying, tears in their eyes, just despondent about what was something tragic that was going on in their life. I stood here and he pointed to several of the men in this church and he said, why can't I be like one of them? Why can't I be like one of them? Why can't I be like a Brother Jones? Why can't I be like a Brother Hogan or Brother Gary? Why can't I be like a Brother Farmer or Brother Anglin? Why can't I be like one of those guys? Why can't I be like a Brother Tony? Why can't I be like one of these men of God? Why can't I be one of them? And I said, you don't realize it, but you can be. You can be. And I said, what you don't understand is that I was you 30 years ago. Oh, you see somebody that you think's got it all together. You see somebody that's been all cleaned up. But there's some folks in here that remember a young man that was a mess. A young man that was all messed up and didn't know which way to turn. Some of you know where I came from. And there were some naysayers back there in the day that looked at me and said, give him a couple weeks. And I was one of them. I didn't know. Hey, let me tell you something. When you change your lifestyle, all of a sudden somebody said, hey, if you really want to do this right, you need to do this and you need to do this. And I just kept listening to the pastor. I just kept listening and looking and watching what successful people were doing. You didn't have to beg me to change. You didn't have to beg me to clean it up. You didn't have to beg me not to stop sinning. I looked around and my eyes were open and I just began to look at all the happy people I knew and I started mimicking what they were doing. That's not hard. We want to do all the wrong things and still have all the things that the people that are doing all the right things have. I sit there on that pew, not the pew, the altar, the steps down at the altar. I had just gotten up from praying. My eyes were all red. I just had me a great conversation with God and been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I turned around and I sat down on those steps and the devil whispered in my ear and he said, well, you've gone and done it now. Look at all these people out here that are all excited. Some of them have shouted tonight. Some of the other young people followed you down here to this altar tonight. And now look at you. You're going to disappoint all of them because you and I both know that you'll never make it. And for about 20 seconds, I bought that lie. I listened to it. I was like, oh God, they're right. Now I gotta go. I went through this just 3 years ago when I first backslid and everybody was disappointed coming around. I just got them to the place where they don't expect anything of me. It's getting easy now to be a sinner. And now I'm going to have to start it all over again because they think I'm going to live for God. And I know that I'll probably mess up tomorrow. But you know what? After about 15 or 20 seconds of thinking like that, the thought crossed my mind. Devil, you are a liar. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I made up my mind right there that from that point to the time I die, I'm just going to keep on digging. I'm just going to keep on shoveling. I'm just going to keep, because there's a day coming, honey, when there's going to be a riches of gold like I've never seen. There's going to be a strike so rich that man had not seen. Amen. No ear has heard even the half of it. But we are going to a place that God has prepared for his people. Amen. If we just keep digging. Hallelujah. You hold on. You keep the faith. You trust the word. And God is going to see you through. Amen. We're not promised everything's going to be all right down here. But we're promised that there's a day of coming. I said there's a day of coming when everything is going to be all right. There's a day of coming when you're not going to need back surgery, Brother Crosby. There's a day of coming when you're not going to limp anymore. There's a day coming when you're not going to walk all hunched over anymore. There's a day coming when you're not going to need to go to a pharmacy anymore or see another doctor anymore, because we are going to a city where the Lamb is the light. Yes, hallelujah. 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 I'm talking to people that knows what it's like to be battered. I know you know what it's like to be badgered. You that have suffered and hurt, don't you give up and don't you quit. Don't you quit. So you brought somebody to church and they made a start and they walked out the door and your heart is broken. You're thinking to yourself, what a waste of time. Don't you quit.
Right.
Don't you quit serving God. So the phone call came from the doctor and he gave you news that you never thought you'd hear on the other end of that line, because you thought living for God, everything was going to be okay. Don't you quit.
Right.
You may be feet away from your greatest victory.
Right.
Get your advice from the Word of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He wasn't camping out. He didn't bring his tent and his sleeping bag and a little load of firewood and some hot dogs and marshmallows to camp out in the valley. He said, I'm walking. What is he saying? I'm digging. I'm just keeping on digging. I'm just going to walk through this thing. It ain't pleasant while I'm here. I'm scared of the shadows that's all around me. But the shadow is simply, if you look at it, at the shadows, you've got to realize that there must be still a source of light somewhere for there to be a shadow. And that lets me know if there's a source of light, that Jesus can't be too far away.
Right, right. Amen. Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
I want them to sing. And I just want you to come. If you got a made up mind, or if you're a little bit wishy-washy in the way of thinking, and this altar is for you tonight, I just want you to come and make a resolution. Hey, you may not understand everything about God, You may not know what's going to happen tomorrow with your family or with your finances. You may not know what's going to happen tomorrow with your job. But if you'll come up here, I promise you one thing, and make up your mind that God will see you through. You're not going to be forsaken. You're not going to be forgotten. His eye is on the sparrow, my friend, and He surely knows where you're at.
Right, right.
Don't stop digging. You're too close.
Right.
You're too close. Don't let somebody else get the prize that was meant for you. Don't let somebody else stake the claim that you originally staked and take over right where you left off, only to find out that it was just a few more feet and you to have everything that your heart ever desired. I'm telling you, we're close. We're close.
Yes.
Hey man, Jesus Christ is coming back. We're close. Look around you. We're not that far away. It's time to get ourselves ready. It's not time to play games. It's time to make our salvation an election sure. A landslide. I want them to sing. Amen. You're invited to this altar.